Task 2. You will hear part of an interview. Answer the questions below. Question 0 is an example. Now read the questions.
So,
yes, question away.
Question away. Let's start with what you make jokes about. What's going on in your head?
I don't know. I think a lot is made of like the kind of the taboo stuff, the rude, kind of crude, offensive jokes. And, you know, I think offense is taken, not given.
Yeah.
You know, people just kind of go out of their way to be offended by stuff if it happens to interest them, if that's their thing.
Yeah.
But people, you know, no one's that offended by my stuff anymore.
No.
Because it's the ninth solo show. It's like the sixth DVD. You'd have to be out of your mind to be offended at this stage.
What do you find people react most to? What do you think when you hear the crowd go woo like that? What subject matter?
Well, it's a weird thing where you talk about, there's weird, I don't know if you find, like the audience find, or if you find, there's things that you joke about with your friends that you wouldn't, you know, that people don't do on stage.
Yeah.
There's jokes that are acceptable within a workplace or when a disaster happens, and they're the jokes you kind of share with your friends. And I think if you do that kind of joke on television or on DVDs or live, people feel a bit closer because they feel like he's not editing this for us.
Mm.
He's not kind of going, oh, you won't understand this or you won't get the nuance. You won't get the fact that it's a joke.
Yeah.
I think people do get the fact it's a joke because you're live on stage at a comedy gig telling jokes.
Yeah.
Couldn't be any simpler, could it?
Yeah. And what do you find particularly funny?
I mean, really, that transgressive
stuff.
I find that I laugh the very loudest just before I go, that is out of order. I don't know about you, but when I really wet myself is when I really, really belly laugh is just before I go, that's against humanity.
It's properly wrong.
Yeah. I think maybe it links back to those kind of those teenage years of where your kind of personality is formed. I mean, maybe it's a British thing, a particularly British thing.
Yeah.
The pride that we take in our sense of humour seems to be our sort of really kind of fundamental national characteristic that we take such pride in. Oh, we can take a joke and we like jokes. And I think my sort of personality was formed and is in arrested development around the age of 13, 14.
13, 14. Okay.
Yeah, so the things that 13 and 14-year-old boys find funny,
so you're in
that's
an
me.
Eternal episode of The In-Betweeners, essentially.
I'm living that
you're
dream,
living
yeah.
The In-Betweeners, oh no.
Yeah, pretty
oh,
much,
brilliant,
yeah.
And are you funny off stage?
You be the judge of that. Well, I say that, we're on stage now. I don't know, I think I'm less funny now in my life than I was before I started doing comedy.
Oh, really?
I used to really make an effort with friends and family to try and be funny and to try and be, you know, if we had a family wedding or something, I would try and be, yeah, here's one for you, I'll tell you a joke, or to try and be kind of garrulous and entertaining. And now, I've got my outlet. Buy the DVD if you're interested.
Yeah. Do you
want a funny story, auntie? Get the DVD. It's only a tenner. Come on. Download that and watch it.
Do random people ever expect you to be funny, like people you bump into or whatever?
There's a weird thing that happens with projection.
Yeah.
Where I meet people on the tube or, you know, if you live in London, you bump into people a lot. And I also recognise some people from after shows that come to a lot of my gigs. You meet people after the show and say hello to them. And often you'll just go, hello, how are you? And there's a weird, because you're a comedian, because they associate you with being funny, they go, oh, what are you like? I haven't said anything. I've literally just said hello, but they go, you're
a one.
It's great. Like that. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. You could end up being just totally not funny and just living off your history, really.
And some have. We'll mention no names, but they're out there.
Did you have any moments of self-doubt at the beginning when you started, when you little gigs? Was it frightening, just getting into the kind of comedy thing?
I had one moment of self-doubt, but it lasted the first 4 years.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's a petrifying and stupid thing to do.
Mm.
It's really, especially those early days when you've got like 20 minutes of jokes and you've left your job.
Yeah.
And you go, I've left my job because I've got 20 minutes of jokes. I think I'm an idiot. I think I might be an idiot. Oh, no.
Did you ever think about going back to your old job, or is it just like once you did it, it was like, right, I'm going to do it now?
I couldn't go back. Just embarrassment. It would have been just too embarrassing. So I had to sort of soldier on.
Yeah. We touched on your subject matter briefly, and you have a lot of jokes, a lot of girlfriend jokes and things like that. And I wondered what your girlfriend made of the girlfriend jokes, and were they based on her at all?
I wouldn't say they were. I think she's absolutely fine with it. But, you know, I would describe her as a gold digger. So what's she going to do? I'm joking. But no, she literally doesn't care. And I think a lot of people have a tough time believing that she doesn't care.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, but the jokes are so clearly wordplay. Like in some of the jokes, she's a wanton woman off with other men.
Mm.
In some of the jokes, I'm off with other women. In some of the jokes, she's incredibly fat.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like from joke to joke, she changes, you know, entirely.
She bends to the joke. The language that you use is really unusual. And I wondered, you know, where you sort of, you know, we were talking about sort of various kind of disgusting words that you use in your show, and I wondered where you get your inspiration for that from.
I think a lot of it was my mother had a very I know that sounds bad. my mother, God rest her soul, was there's no God, I don't know why I say that.
That's my next question.
she was a really funny, very larger than life Irish woman, and she used to swear a lot, but she didn't just swear kind of cavalierly. She had a very good turn of phrase.
Mm.
She always had a very, if you ever complimented her, she was very sort of self-deprecating. If you said, oh, you look nice, she'd always go, I look like a whore at a christening.
at Christmas lunch, which is
such a lovely phrase. I look like a whore at a christening. It's such a great phrase, and I think I sort of inherited that. I've got an eye for a phrase or an ear for a phrase. I like a nice turn of phrase, because often that's what makes a joke. It's like a funny idea, but you really sell it with a nice
twist it in a little bit. Yeah.
Now, listen again.
So.
Yes, question away.
Question away. Let's start with what you make jokes about. What's going on in your head?
I don't know. I think a lot is made of like the kind of the taboo stuff, the rude, kind of crude, offensive jokes. And, you know, I think offence is taken, not given.
Yeah.
You know, people just kind of go out of their way to be offended by stuff if it happens to interest them, if that's their thing.
Yeah.
But people, you know, no one's that offended by my stuff anymore.
No.
Because it's the ninth solo show. It's like the sixth DVD. You'd have to be out of your mind to be offended at this stage.
What do you find people react most to? What do you think when you hear the crowd go, woo, like that? What subject matter?
Well, it's a weird thing where you talk about, there's weird, I don't know if you find, like the audience find, or if you find, there's things that you joke about with your friends that you wouldn't, you know, that people don't do on stage.
Yeah.
There's jokes that are acceptable within a workplace or when a disaster happens, and they're the jokes you kind of share with your friends. And I think if you do that kind of joke on television or on DVDs or live, people feel a bit closer because they feel like he's not editing this for us. He's not kind of going, oh, you won't understand this or you won't get the nuance. You won't get the fact that it's a joke.
Yeah.
I think people do get the fact it's a joke because you're live on stage at a comedy gig telling jokes.
Yeah.
Couldn't be any simpler, could it?
Yeah. And what do you find particularly funny?
I mean, really, that transgressive
stuff.
I find that I laugh the very loudest just before I go, that is out of order. I don't know about you, but when I really wet myself is when I really, really belly laugh is just before I go, that is that's against humanity.
It's properly wrong.
Yeah. I think maybe it links back to those kind of those teenage years of where your kind of personality is formed. I mean, maybe it's a British thing, a particularly British thing.
Yeah.
The pride that we take in our sense of humour seems to be our sort of really kind of fundamental national characteristic that we take such pride in. Oh, we can take a joke and we like jokes. And I think my sort of personality was formed and is in arrested development around the age of 13, 14.
13, 14, okay.
Yeah, so the things that 13 and 14-year-old boys find funny,
so you're in
that's
an
me.
Eternal episode of The In-Betweeners, essentially.
I'm living that
you're
dream,
living
yeah.
The In-Betweeners, oh no.
Yeah, pretty much,
brilliant, yeah. And are you funny off stage?
You be the judge of that. Well, I say that, we're on stage now. I don't know, I think I'm less funny now in my life than I was before I started doing comedy.
Oh, really?
I used to really make an effort with friends and family to try and be funny and to try and be, you know, if we had a family wedding or something, I would try and be, yeah, here's one for you, I'll tell you a joke, or to try and be kind of garrulous and entertaining. And now, I've got my outlet. Buy the DVD if you're interested.
Yeah. Do you
want a funny story, auntie? Get the DVD. It's only a tenner. Come on. Download that and watch it.
Do random people ever expect you to be funny, like people you bump into or whatever?
There's a weird thing that happens with projection.
Yeah.
Where I meet people on the tube or, you know, if you live in London, you bump into people a lot. And I also recognise some people from after shows that come to a lot of my gigs. You meet people after the show and say hello to them. And often you'll just go, hello, how are you? And there's a weird, because you're a comedian, because they associate you with being funny, they go, oh, what are you like? I haven't said anything. I've literally just said hello. But they go, oh, you.
You're a one.
It's great.
Like that.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. You could end up being just totally not funny and just living off your history, really.
And some have. We'll mention no names, but they're out there.
Did you have any moments of self-doubt at the beginning when you started, when you, little gigs, was it frightening, just getting into the kind of comedy thing?
I had one moment of self-doubt, but it lasted the first 4 years.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's a petrifying and stupid thing to do.
Mm.
It's really, I mean, especially those early days when you've got like 20 minutes of jokes and you've left your job.
Yeah.
And you go, I've left my job because I've got 20 minutes of jokes. I think I'm an idiot. I think I might be an idiot. Oh, no.
Did you ever think about going back to your old job, or is it just like once you did it, it was like, right, I'm going to do it now?
I couldn't go back. Just embarrassment. It would have been just too embarrassing. So I had to sort of soldier on.
Yeah. We touched on your subject matter briefly, and you have a lot of jokes, a lot of girlfriend jokes and things like that. And I wondered what your girlfriend made of the girlfriend jokes, and were they based on her at all?
I wouldn't say they were. I think she's absolutely fine with it. But, you know, I would describe her as a gold digger. So what's she going to do? I'm joking. But no, she literally doesn't care. And I think a lot of people have a tough time believing that she doesn't care.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, some of the... But the jokes are so clearly wordplay. Like in some of the jokes, she's a wanton woman off with other men.
Mm.
In some of the jokes, I'm off with other women. In some of the jokes, she's incredibly fat.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like from joke to joke, she changes, you know, entirely.
She bends to the joke. The language that you use is really unusual. And I wondered, you know, where you sort of, you know, we were talking about sort of various kind of disgusting words that you use in your show, and I wondered where you get your inspiration for that from.
I think a lot of it was my mother had a very I know that sounds bad. my mother, God rest her soul, was there's no God, I don't know why I say that.
That's my next question.
She was a really funny, very larger than life Irish woman, and she used to swear a lot. But she didn't just swear kind of cavalierly. She had a very good turn of phrase.
Mm.
She always had a very... If you ever complimented her, she was very sort of self-deprecating. If you said, oh, you look nice, she'd always go, I look like a whore at a christening.
Christmas lunch.
Which is such a lovely... I look like a whore at a christening. It's such a... great phrase. And I think I sort of inherited that. I've got an eye for a phrase or an ear for a phrase. I like a nice turn of phrase, because often that's what makes a joke. It's like a funny idea, but you really sell it with a nice...
twist it in a little bit. Yeah.
This is the end of task 2.